You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, this evening, we're talking to Harriet from strategy firm Jide Consultants, and she'll be sharing with us some lessons that she's learned along her own entrepreneurial journey, and she's already joining us on the line. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it. What time is it at that side of the world?
It's actually 7:15.
Lovely. So we are in the same time zone. So I'm not wrong when I say good evening.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's the same time zone. Yeah, it's in Zimbabwe.
Yes, we are in the same time zones as well. So I just thought, let me clear that up for our listeners as well. Really appreciate your time. How was your day?
Oh, my day was brilliant, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I had a couple of meetings in the day, and I just rounded one up at 5 p.m.
Just now, and 2 hours ago, eh? Before you even caught your breath, and we are here as Business Sense as well, saying, hey, don't forget us. So, yeah, sorry, we are disturbing you and your peace.
Not even. I was so looking forward to
same
this
here
moment.
Same here. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. We are joining us, of course, this evening. We're talking about a very important topic, which is entrepreneurship. And how we put it, this segment is we learn from people like yourselves, who are entrepreneurs, who can share their own story, but also as you try and learn about your business as well, kind of brings us into a position where we can also, I suppose, inspire aspiring entrepreneurs as well and people who want to get into business. I understand from people we talk to that sometimes it's not an easy journey. It's a very difficult journey. It can be very lonely. We've had entrepreneurs will say, you know, my family has been my pillar because, without my family, it has been a difficult one. But, yeah, those are some of the things that we want to talk about that. But, hey, who is Harriet? Before we even get into your business, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, so my name is Harriet Mundiwa, and my foundational training is as a chartered accountant.
Okay.
Having trained and qualified with Deloitte and Touche Chartered Accountants.
Okay.
So, so during my time with Deloitte, I realized that I had a passion in working with and assisting businesses in solving their challenges and achieving their goals and objectives. And that's how I pivoted into strategy consulting. But further to my qualification as a chartered accountant, I'm a holder of a Master of Science degree.
Okay.
With London University, a master's in business leadership degree with the University of South Africa, and currently in the final year of my PhD with Edinburgh Business School.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's interesting. How has been this doctoral journey? I hear it's a painful one.
It actually is very long, and it's one of those that can be very lonely because I'm a long distance student.
Yes.
So it's very long. It's a long journey, and some people give up along the way, but I've seen it to be very fulfilling. I think perseverance and consistency are needed for one to actually finish it, because it takes about 5 to 7 years to complete.
Yeah, it's a very long journey. And
yes, it is.
Someone was saying people who finish PhDs are lonely. They've got a void to fill, so that's why they go the doctoral route. Because why would you start such a long journey if you have other things and other people and those sorts of things to, kind of look at and all that? But hey, I suppose each to their own. Eh?
Yeah, interesting. That's very true.
Interesting. And in which part of Zimbabwe do you come from?
I'm in Harare.
Harare,
the capital. Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. And for people who might not know Harare, how does it look? What are some of the bustle and interesting things to do around Harare?
So Harare has quite a lot of things to do, right?
Yeah.
It's the hub of economic activity. So when you come to Harare, you see people, you know, just working.
Yeah.
We wake up very early, take our kids to school, and during school days, that is.
Yeah.
But we also have some interesting things that you can do. We've got malls that you can go to. We've got Sam Levis Village. It's a beautiful mall, which has some nice shops, restaurants, and food for foodies.
Mm.
And you can also take a trip down to maybe just a few kilometers outside to our Lion and Cheetah Park outside of Harare.
Mm.
Yes, and there's a lot of places to see. We've got our nice residential places like Borodale Brook, where there are these really, really nice houses that will take you out of, you know, that will blow you out of your mind. And Harare is full of happy people. People are really nice in Harare. They are like just the rest of Zimbabwe. And I think Africa in general.
Yeah.
We're very nice people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very, very true. Okay. Let's start then here. Your company, Giant Consultants, where is that coming from and what do you guys do?
Okay. So Giant Consultants is coming from, it's an acronym yes.
Interesting.
It's actually an acronym that I came up with. It's built around the names of my children, actually.
Okay.
Yes, so I have four children. So there's Jadon, Ivana, Dishon, and Edri. So this is where Jade comes from.
Okay. So I suppose about leaving a legacy for them one of these days.
Yes. I hope they'll be willing to take it up.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you specialize in as a company?
So as a company, as a strategy consultancy, I help businesses solve their most pressing business challenges and to achieve their business objectives. So this basically includes understanding their current situation, including their strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, identifying their strategic goals and objectives, developing a strategy to achieve their goals, implementing their strategy and to monitor its progress, and also providing businesses with objective and unbiased advice.
Now, we hear the word strategy being thrown around quite a lot, and I feel like within the corporate space, it's almost thrown a lot as a way to, I suppose, those that are a little bit junior in the business to feel like, oh, this conversation is not for me at all. Strategy, what are we talking about here?
So strategy, we are talking about a plan of action.
Yeah.
That is designed to achieve a long-term or overall aim that a company has. So a company may want to achieve certain things, and so they will sort of like have ways of achieving those goals.
Yeah.
And that's the strategy.
So you've got these goals and this is how we want to achieve those goals.
Yes. That's right. And more so, especially under conditions of uncertainty.
Yes.
Because there's been a lot of uncertainty around. So it's more like saying we are going through these challenges. What is our game plan?
Yeah.
How can we be better than competition?
Yeah.
What is, or more like, where do we play in order to win?
Yeah.
And how do we play in order to win?
That makes sense.
Which markets do you want to play so that you can win or you can have a competitive edge around competition? Because mainly it's always around competition, but more so for the smaller companies, it's more about growth. How do we grow from where we are? What is our strategy to grow?
When did the business start once again? And also, what sets you apart from other strategy consultants out there? And the big ones come to mind, obviously, that are known the world over and all that. But obviously, there's a way in which you set yourself apart from them. How do you do that?
Yes, so the business started 3 years ago. I launched it 3 years ago. And what sets me apart from the other companies or other strategy consultants is that I offer a personalized service to my clients. I think more so in comparison with the big clients, with the big consultancy firms, I offer personalized service to them. And my costs are relatively lower, which is more affordable to the smaller organizations. And not that I don't provide service to the big companies. I also provide services to them. But also when I provide service to them, I come on my own. I don't have like a very large team with me. So when they buy me, they see me. I am there most of the time working with them. And you understand that strategy is a bit sensitive. So when I go there by myself, everything will revolve around me. I will come up with the strategies. I will help them to implement. And my whole time is dedicated with the client.
Sure. That's what sets you apart, that you are there with the client and sort of working with them on that journey. 3 years ago, sounds like it was during COVID. Why would you even go that route during a COVID period?
Yes, it was actually during COVID. And I think this is the time when I actually left Deloitte as an associate.
Okay.
So during my time as an associate at Deloitte, I had the opportunity to work with a variety of businesses. And I witnessed firsthand the challenges that these businesses were facing in today's competitive marketplace. And by extension, the value of a well-developed and executed strategy. So I believed that I could offer something to them. So I saw this opportunity to help businesses develop and execute winning strategies. And I felt that was the right time when we were at home and there was not much work. So this is the time that I decided, let me offer this new type of strategy consulting firm that is more client-centric, data-driven, and creative than the traditional firms.
That was very brave, I must say, during COVID, because one would think that, why would you even take that bit of a risk? Okay, so that's really interesting. So it's a strategy firm. You help companies to solve their pressing challenges, you know, things like markets and where they want to go into. And that's what you choose. Setting yourself apart is the fact that, you know, you are there with the client, working with them on this particular journey to achieving their plans and goals as well. I'm pretty much so. You mentioned that, for instance, you don't come with a huge team, but it's mainly buying you as a person who's going to be helping them with that. What then drives you as an entrepreneur? What's your driving force?
Okay, so there are quite a couple of driving forces that drove me to become an entrepreneur. But firstly, the key one is my desire to make a real impact in the world. I believe that entrepreneurship is one of the most powerful ways to create positive change. And secondly, as a strategy consultant, I have the opportunity to help businesses succeed. But I wanted to do more. So I wanted to create a business that would have a direct impact on the lives of other people. And also the desire to be my own boss. And I've always wanted to be a self-starter, and I also enjoy the flexibility that generally comes with being an entrepreneur.
Okay. And that flexibility, would you say you experience that quite a lot?
Yes, I actually do experience it quite a lot because I'm able to engage in my children's activities at school, and I'm able to do school run, pick them up, drop them off, and mix that with my own school and have my own times where I'm saying I'm doing my work and schedule my own meetings with the clients.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. Okay, you wanted to see change in other people, and that was what was driving you. Was there any need to raise capital? And if there was it easy?
So there was. Actually, I used my personal savings. Because I had been at Deloitte for 5 years, and prior to that, I'd worked in the Cayman Islands. So I managed to have a to save quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
But it's a reality that raising funding for startups is not easy, especially this side of the world where financial institutions demand collateral and a history of prior performance. And the markets for startup funding are not as well developed.
Mm.
So consequently, startups are forced to rely on own finances or assistance from family and friends.
Mm. And how was it with you? Was it family, friends? How did you raise your first capital?
So mine was mainly the personal savings that
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Ah, okay. And that set you back, of course, a couple of months of enjoyment with having to you know, put that in the business. Were you driven by that one day it will you know, pay itself back?
Yes, I think that was one of the major driving forces, you know, thinking that it will definitely pay itself with time. Because now, 3 years later, I have income. Instead of being in the negative, I have positive income.
Nice.
And I can actually draw my own balance sheets, you know, to say I have these assets. And I think, it's now self-sustaining.
Mm, and being a chartered accountant obviously helps with balancing your own sheets and income statement and cash flow and all these sort of things as you try and make sense of that. The entrepreneurs in the African space, like you said, it's difficult to raise funding. What would be your message of advice or maybe support to them? What would be your message to them? Say, hey, do this and do that.
Yes. So in terms of funding, I would encourage them, startups, entrepreneurs, to get in touch or to collaborate with investors, to network. And I think networking is actually a big thing in terms of trying to also raise funding. So through networking, you're able to even get ideas of how others have managed to raise money, and they can connect you to other people who are able to assist in raising funds. I know there are other organizations, smaller ones, that help startups. I know in Zimbabwe we also have some organizations that actually help startups or entrepreneurs with collateral. Obviously there'll be some interest charges, but those organizations are there, and those are also through networks.
So having those networks does help as well, and you know, sitting around such conversations as well. Your first customer, do you remember them? I'm sure when you went in there was a little bit of, hey, this is my first time doing this. Will they even buy that strategy that I come for? Or if maybe it was an exploratory discussions with them, how easy or difficult was it?
So it was not easy to get my first customer. It was a lot. It took a lot. It was actually draining. I mean, I had to.
Can you imagine?
I think what we need as entrepreneurs is to have courage to just go out there and advertise ourselves, because you're starting from a place where you don't have enough funding. So I used things like social media and I used WhatsApp. And I remember my first client came from my son's school, and that client is still my client right now. I'm happy to say that they're still my client.
Oh, nice.
But at the same time, I managed to, this is the beauty about having a first client, you go all out. So I managed to provide a good and consistent quality service. Show them that I cared for their business, and I took their business as my own. So whilst we were working, I actually made it a point to make sure that I delivered the best. And this client became an advocate and sold my business to their colleagues.
Look at that.
Yes.
Look at that. I'm sure that was a way to reinforce that you're on the right direction.
Yes, it was. It was. And to think that I genuinely cared for the success of their business, and I showed them that my interest went beyond just the financial. So that helped build trust and the long-term relationship that I then built with them.
Yes. Sure. Do you go back to them? Do they come back to you? What happens? And how do you even grow your next customer base?
So I actually do go to them, and they also come to me. So when I also see that there's some silence between me and my client,
yes,
I try to initiate the conversation.
Yeah.
And networks are also important.
Yeah.
I have managed to build a customer base through leveraging on the networks that I have built over the years.
Yeah.
And this is mainly through referrals, because sometimes we want to grow big very quickly, but it takes time.
Yeah.
So I've managed to build that customer base through also referrals. And these referrals are not just coming, you know, like every day. It's maybe after 3 months, you know. But when they do come, I make sure that the quality of the service that I deliver is 100%. It's world class. It's 5-star.
Indeed. Yeah, because word of mouth can cripple your business if people feel like, nah, that company doesn't do what they promise their clients. So yeah, it's very important. You mentioned that you just came out of a meeting at 5, ending your day. You know, I'm sure, you know, there's other things we're doing throughout the day. But what's your typical day like as an entrepreneur? What time do you wake up? What time do you go to sleep? How difficult, family, all of those things.
Yes. So my typical day it starts at 4 a.m. It starts at 4 a.m.
Sure.
So when I wake up, I definitely start with a prayer. And then I then get my journal.
Yeah.
And I then check my emails, my calendar to see what I have to do during the day. But not surprising, my day is always comprised of a lot of meetings with clients. So I spend most of my time during the day with clients, getting as much information from their employees, their customers, and their executives. This is much of my day. And in between, I then do school run. I go and get the kids from school.
Yeah.
I take them home. They have different activities. They finish at different times. So after I've done that, I also come home and I continue working.
Sure.
I also make time to, you know, stay up to date on industry trends and developments, and which helps me to provide my clients with the best possible advice.
Yeah.
So a typical day for me would end around maybe 8 or 9 p.m. Because I'll be catching up on the other stuff probably that I would have missed whilst doing the school runs and all that. But also that depends on the project that I'm working on and the stage of the project, because it can be prolonged. Time can be prolonged.
That's a busy day. That's certainly a busy day. So how then do you balance that business in life with your family or personal life? I'm sure you've got friends that see you less and less and less every time you started, ever since you started the business. There's family that sees you less and less. How does that affect your own personal life and your family life as well?
Yes, it does affect my personal and family life. That's very true. And so being an entrepreneur, it can have a significant impact. So on the one hand, it can be very rewarding in that I'm my own boss and I've built something from scratch. And whilst it is also time consuming in terms of the how difficult it is to achieve work and life balance. So for me, it's been rewarding in the sense that I have a lot of flexibility. Unlike if I was working for a large corporate with standard time, I would have to start work at 8 and clock out at 4:30. Especially for companies that haven't implemented work from home.
Yes.
So this flexibility affords me time to also have time with my kids, with my children. and obviously have time to do other things with my friends. So it has also made me a role model for my children, who can actually see what I go through, and thus teaching them the importance of hard work, perseverance, and risk taking. But on the negative, sometimes I have to work extremely long hours, which means I do not spend enough time with my family and friends.
Yeah.
And the reason I have to work long hours is unlike in a corporate setup where you know that your salary is guaranteed at the end of the month, your medical aid is paid for. I don't have those things. I have to get clients so that I pay my salary, I pay the bills. So if I don't have clients, and if I don't work that much, it means that I don't have a salary. So it's unlike working for a corporate also, where if one gives minimum effort, they might still be paid at the end of the month. But as an entrepreneur, if I give minimum effort, I don't go out and look for clients. I might not be able to pay the bills. So I've also engaged my family to help them understand that this is what I have to do in order for us to have food at the table, in order for us to have certain things in the family, and to so that bills are paid. So, yeah, I have to work long hours, and that takes away family time for me to achieve this.
Now, how do you even explain that to your kids, particularly that mommy has to work long hours? Do they even understand, or they got to a point where they fully now understand?
So in the beginning, it was not easy, because they wanted to know exactly what I was doing and why it was so important that I would have to take time away from them. So I would sort of like give them tasks. I would be telling them, a good thing is they watched Boss Baby. There's this cartoon which shows children in the corporate world. So I gave them tasks, and I told them, you are the HR, you are the executive director for this. And I each gave them little bits of things to do. This ran for like a week, just to help them understand what is involved. So we'd have meetings after their school. That would be around 6, just after dinner. And then I'll get them together as the board, and then we'd sit and we'd discuss, this is what I did today, but what I did today was the practical stuff of what I was actually doing. And then I'll just ask them to give brief reports around what they think should happen around operations, around HR, around marketing, how I should market the business, you know. So, and the acronym itself being made out of their names, I think it resonated with them that, okay, this is actually a big thing. We should be involved. But with time, they now understand.
That's lovely. That's lovely. Having a busy mom and all that. That's certainly interesting. What's been like moving from corporate salary, you know, guaranteed, like you said, and now moving into the reality of running a business where expectations and reality sometimes, where they intersect, we find that, oh my, it's not what I thought. I thought my projections gave me 5 years of X dollars in a year and all that. And you realize, hey, it's not going the way I thought from the numbers and the spreadsheets it should have. So expectations and reality, how do you deal with those?
So I definitely have seen that the expectations and the reality are very different. And so in terms of the salary that I get versus what I could have been getting in the corporate, it's different. And trying to balance the two, because you will not know when the next client is coming. So, yeah, so I faced some big surprises that were unexpected, really, and some which were bad. I think the bad ones were mainly to do with the uncertainty that comes with the fact that the business world is constantly changing. It becomes difficult to predict what the future holds. So you find that in as much as you plan, that I'm going to use my finances, or I'm going to use this, or I'm going to get this much, expect maybe 5,000, but in reality, nothing comes in the month. So I think that's just a blow. That would be a blow. But I've managed to deal with this in a way that I'm flexible.
Yeah.
I'm now flexible in the sense that I've gotten to realize that if I don't have a client within the month, I should be able to have a buffer. So I always have a buffer with me to say, if I don't have funds, I'm going to limit my expenses. There are times when I actually really limit to such an extent that you'll find that it's only for the money that I get will just be for the bills. And it's come to a place where you get the kids involved to understand that this month there is absolutely nothing. And also, I'm also adjusting to the fact that I don't always have to go according to the plan.
Yeah.
I have to deviate from plans that I would have made. So sometimes I can make a plan to say, this is what I am going to do and I need to go with it, but then I deviate from it and it doesn't really bother me as much as it used to. Yes, but at the same time, there have been good surprises that I've managed to come across, knowing that there are a lot of people out there who genuinely want to see me succeed and who are ready to assist me, either by connecting me to prospective clients and those that, when I genuinely care for clients, they will start to genuinely care for me too, and they will retain me. Not only that, but they will refer me to their network. So that was real to me, knowing that there are people who genuinely want to see me succeed.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. What are your short to medium term and possibly in the long term, where do you see the business?
So I think the short term, I would say continuously growing my client base and continuously making a positive difference in my clients' businesses. And so that the customers, they can continually support me. My long-term goal would be that to be a renowned strategy consultant within my country.
No, it's definitely coming. It's one of those things that it's a case of God, when exactly? But the truth is that it's on its way. And I can tell you we'll be interviewing you for 2-3 years from now and be like, hey, I'm known the world over now, you know, and all that. So that'd be interesting.
Exactly.
Now it's coming.
I like that you mentioned God when, because, you know, sometimes I always say to myself, I go back to the Bible and I say, what God has begun, he will see to fruition.
Certainly. Your most satisfying moment in running the business?
So the most satisfying moment for me was when I booked my first client. I mean, I was so excited, and that was about 2 months after I launched Jide. And I mean, 3 years later, the client is still with me. So that just was satisfying for me.
And if you were to start all over, then what would you do differently?
So if I would start all over, I would focus on building my network earlier in my career.
Okay.
And because networking is essential for success in any field, but it's especially important in entrepreneurship. I think a strong network can help you find new clients, develop new relationships with potential, you know, with potential clients. And it also helps to stay up to date on industry trends. Yes, so I'll definitely do that differently.
As we conclude on this one, there are aspiring entrepreneurs out there that want to start their own businesses as well, might be in a different field. What would be your one message of encouragement to them?
So to those who have a passion in entrepreneurship, I know that sometimes starting can be scary, but you just need to be bold. Yes, it is challenging, but it is also rewarding. It might not be easy at first, but if you persevere and are consistent, it will all work out in due course. And one of the things I have learned, now this is from my own experience, don't be afraid to ask if you need help. So it doesn't matter who that person is. If you feel that they can help you, go for it, because you're guaranteed two answers, yes and no. So this will help you frame your next step. And also, I think note that at times you may try to reach out to people that you're confident will help you, but then they don't reply to you. So have you ever sent a message to someone and they just don't respond to you? I have done that. But I want to encourage you that this should not discourage you, because the person who could be destined to help you might be a total stranger whom you haven't met. So don't give up. And I certainly wish all the entrepreneurs and everybody listening the very best in their careers.
Oh, that's really beautiful. That's really beautiful. We wish the same to you as well. And we pray that God does continue to, you know, help you, assist you, be there for you, expand your business for, you know, the future that you are facing and where you want to see it, be known as the, a renowned strategist in the country, perhaps the world over. And so may God certainly do the same to you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening and telling us a little bit about your own business and your journey in entrepreneurship as well. We really appreciate that, and may God continue to bless you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate this.
Really appreciate it. That was, of course, Harriet joining us this evening, telling us a little bit about her business, what it looks like, what she does, some of the lessons that she herself has learned. And I hope that aspiring entrepreneurs have learned the same.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.